Well, good morning. It's been a good morning. I'm honored to be here. And for those of you that don't know me, my name's Tony Tarusa. I've been a member of this church for, I counted it this week, 24 years, since I was 19 years old. And I've never done this. So this is the first. my family's here. My wife, Emmy. My daughter, Elena. Maybe you guys raise your hands. My son, Anthony. Yay. Kevin asked me to speak. He said, yeah, just be yourself, you know, and maybe share a few things about you. So most of you guys know me as the guy that hides behind those drums over there and then sits down and hides again. This is me. I used to be in a Christian band. I thought it'd be funny to, mothers, don't let your kids end up like this. This is me in the Supertones, and I thought I was cool and made a mohawk. Do you have that picture of the Supertones here? Yeah, there we go. That we were a choir club. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. We were a Christian ska band, and we were in a for most of my 20s, I was doing ministry through music, and then I transitioned into landscape, which is pretty. Everybody goes from music to landscape, right? Right. Yeah. So anyway, it's an honor to be here, and I'm really happy to share. And I hope what I have is God's. I hope what He's given me was from His Spirit, and I could just be a conduit and talk to you about it. So, the title of my sermon is Conflict or Comfort. So that, you know, Kevin's been talking a lot about conflict, and that really rings true to me because I grew up avoiding conflict as much as I possibly can. And maybe you're one of those people that don't avoid it, and that's good. But I think a lot of us can relate to trying to avoid conflict. So let me tell you a quick story. Back in August, I was praying. And it was an August morning. Some of the guys at the men's retreat heard this already, but I was praying, and I was just, you know, one of those good times of prayer. And I thought, you know what, Lord, shake me up a little bit. You know, it's bring me out of my comfort zone. This is good. You know, it will be good for me. And I'm speaking to God as if I'm directing Him. You know, it'll be good for me. You may shake me up a little bit. It's time. So. Since then, this is in August, remember that, the absolute next Sunday, which is like 3 or 4 days later, I walk in for worship practice, and Kevin comes up to me and says, hey, I got a challenge for you. October 17th, how about you give the sermon, which is today? And I'm like, okay, wow, okay, good. God, you shook me up a little bit. Great, I'll do that. And then the next week, Pat broke his collarbone. Our worship leader, Pat, who's up at the conference, he broke his collarbone. Got another call from Kevin. Hey, I'm going to need you to lead worship for like the next 5 weeks or something. Okay, great. No problem. I got it. And then I did lead worship. And then my good friend Jared over there, I finished up worship. And then Jared comes walking up these stairs. I'm packing up my guitar. And he says, hey, how's it going? You know, small talk. Hey, men's retreat's coming up. How about you give your testimony? I'm like, geez. And I told him, I said, I'll think about it. Let me pray about it. And then right as I said that, Dave Williams comes up these stairs and says, so are you in? So nonetheless, I'm glad you guys did that. And I gave my testimony, and it was good. Something else that's going on in my life right now is my work sent me back to college. And so I am getting my bachelor's degree starting at the age of 43. Yeah. Thank you. That's when everybody starts, right? 43, that's a good age. Let me tell you, I'm in one class, chemistry. And I just looked around the room, and you guys just gave me this. Every time I say I'm taking chemistry, everybody says, ooh, jeez. So it has been utterly impossible. I mean, I stare at that screen and I get pretty angry sometimes. Anyway, God has definitely shaken me up, and I wanted to speak on conflict or comfort, which when we're put in the face of conflict, whether it's just given to you or you've got, you typically have a decision to make. And that decision is going to bring a result. So anyway, let me read the definition of conflict. Conflict is, this is dictionary.com, a fight, a battle, a struggle, especially a prolonged struggle or strife. Sounds great, right? Everybody wants that. The definition of comfort is relief in affliction, consolation, solace, a cause or matter of relief or satisfaction. Sounds way, way, way better than conflict to me. So really, when we're put in the face of conflict, no matter how big or how small, we basically are asking, we got to ask ourselves the question, do I really want to deal with this? I mean, we conflict is here no matter what. I mean, that chemistry class, if I can just say, I mean, I started that thing, and like 3 weeks, 2 weeks in, I wanted my life of 2 weeks prior to that back so bad. I mean, I don't want to deal with it. But that's not what God put in front of me. And when we're dealing with conflict, we really got to ask ourselves, how am I going to deal with this? Am I going to deal with this? And remember, when you don't make a decision, if you just decide not to decide, as Kevin always says, you have decided. So I would like to open, maybe Ethan, you can bring up Jonah 1, verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses, and then we're going to break this down a little bit. So, Jonah, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. That's a big storm. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah, take note of this, had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up and call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Okay, let's stop right there for a second. So Jonah was given a word. Back in verse 1, it says he was given a word, go to Nineveh and preach against it, because these Ninevites basically have fallen into sin, total wickedness. God basically said, my wrath is going to fall upon them. And when the wrath of God falls upon a city or somebody, it's bad news for that set of people or that person. Jonah was given, this is a conflict. This is conflicting in his mind. Do I really want to deal with this? And his answer was a flat out, nope, I'm out of here. I'm just not out of here. I'm taking off, right? He takes off and finds a ship and pays a fare. Like, that's like getting on a plane or something, and I'm going to fly to, I don't know, Italy or something. I'm just going to take a vacation. And he was convinced so much that he had fled from God, that there was a storm on the sea, and he was like in a deep sleep at the bottom of the boat. I mean, he's like, okay, I'm saying no to you, God. In fact, I'm just going to take off, and I'm just going to like snooze away and hide. And so there's, like I said, there's results to what we decide. And this one, there's a lot of results. Let me go through a couple of the results that happened. So, actually, you know what? No, let's see what Jonah. Let's see over to verse 12. So they wake him up. You know, he goes up, and they basically figure out, like, you're the problem. Like, whatever you did is angering your God, right? So then, this is Jonah. Jonah says to them, here's the answer. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against it. Then they called on the Lord and said, we earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Basically, this man's decision. And do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And last, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Okay, so there's the result. Side note, I read the definition of comfort, and if there was an ultimate definition of discomfort, that's hanging out in the stomach of a fish for 3 days. Yeah, I mean, that has got to be the most uncomfortable position ever. I mean, you think about the story and you think, I always read that growing up or even recently, you always think of that like, oh, it's like Pinocchio, you know, like Geppetto hanging out in a whale or something and he's fishing on a boat and he's got his lantern or something. I don't think so. I think this is like literally swallowed and hanging out in the belly. I mean, that must have stunk really bad, literally. So his results are, let me go through a couple things. So he's in a deep sleep. He thought he had fled. I'm good. But then he has a rude awakening. Then it caused a storm. Then there was total panic. And then he's just thrown into a violent ocean. And then it's calm for a second, and then he gets swallowed by a fish. So this guy has to go down as one of the worst decisions of the world. And I want to take note, too, we can all relate to this. Note that his decision to avoid what was put in front of him and choose, he thought he was comfortable on the bottom of that boat. And so what's important to take note is the results of his action or the results of what we decide affect other people. I mean, those sailors on that boat were in total, they thought they were going to die. They're throwing their stuff over the side. Like, whatever we got to do. They turn to God because of this. So I want to ask everybody a question. Why do we choose to be, like when we're put in the face of conflict, why do we choose to be comfortable? Why do we avoid it? Why do I avoid it? So I do you have that points up there, Ethan? I got a few points maybe why we would choose comfort over conflict. The first one is convenience. Really, because I think we think it's just easier. You know, my neighbor's hurting. I think they're, you know, going through something really bad or something. Maybe they'll just work it out. It's just easy for me to, maybe if they come over here, I'll talk to them, but I'm not going to go over there. Or maybe it's fear. That's a big one, you guys. What would we, I mean, big or small conflict, we fear that I can't do it. You know, I don't want to, my dad's super mad at me, you know, and I don't want him to blow up on me. You know, I'm afraid of that. And then there's lies. The enemy tells you that you're not equipped. I want you guys to take note of that one. That's like, that kind of goes into the next one, feeling inadequate. The enemy is going to tell you, the enemy does not want you to resolve that conflict. He would rather you sit in there and just stew in it and think, I can't handle this. I can't do it. That's not me. Nope, that's for somebody else. Pastor Kevin can take care of that one. or maybe, you know, Matt Watts can intercede there, and that's just not me. I can't do it. And so we avoid. Maybe we say it's not my problem, or it'll take care of it. So that's just that's me. Let's just leave it alone. I'm going to avoid it. Anger. I'm going to put anger and hurt together. Sometimes we're so angry at a situation. Maybe we've been hurt. We've been kicked. We haven't been listened to. Maybe it's been going on for a long time, and I'm too angry to resolve this. I know that I have felt that. You know, there's maybe a situation that I would just rather let that person feel my anger, and so that they can hurt. That just makes me feel better, right? Which we all know is not the right decision. So, and then the last one probably speaks to me the most, and Emmy can probably attest to this, is overthinking it. I'm a classic overthinker. That's the what if, right? I could deal with this maybe, but what if, you know, he doesn't like what I say, or what if I say the wrong thing, or what if, and he, you know, we can overthink it. We can overthink ourselves out of dealing with what God wants us to deal with. So the last time I checked, you guys, all of these points, avoidance, convenience, fear, lies, feeling inadequate, avoidance, anger, hurt, overthinking, these are not fruits of the Spirit, right? Can we all agree that those are not fruits of the Spirit? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Read it out loud. What's the next one? Patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, if we operate in that, you guys, when we're put in the face of something that's big, and I want to point out, conflict can be tiny, but conflict can be ginormous. And I'm not trying, you know, I know I made it some jokes about my chemistry class, and that thing's going to be gone, you know, in maybe when I pass in 5 years or something. But there's some big stuff out there. I mean, there's fires up in Northern California. There's a shooting in Las Vegas. You know, there's people in this room that are dealing with family stuff that have been going on for maybe decades. There's people dealing with disease, you know, and I don't want to discount that at all, making a joke about, you know, chemistry or something. But when we walk in the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience, I mean, seriously, I mean, those are really broad words. You know, it's not very specific to what your conflict is or what you might deal with. But if we can go back to those foundations for what God wants, what the Spirit, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Because the Spirit of the living God dwells within you, right? Like, you have Jesus. If Jesus has claimed a victory over your life, and that means that you have those fruits. You've been given all of those fruits. And if you can draw from that rather than what you're... I mean, we're all human, and we all want to just... We all want to take all that stuff, fear and lies and stuff, and then we'll just sit in it and say, this is comfortable. This is comfort for me. I'm just going to sit here, and I'm going to believe the lies, and I'm going to believe... I'm just going to be angry. That's just easier. But it doesn't work out that way. If we can walk in the fruits of the Spirit, there's so much more to be had. And I'm not saying that... I don't know what everybody's going through, but God promised to be faithful, and he will be faithful to you. So, you know, life was not meant to... God never meant life to be easy. I think that was probably the Garden of Eden, you know, before sin came. It was easy. You know, didn't have to work. There wasn't any sin. But then sin came in. So life kind of turned from easy to reliance on our Savior. So life wasn't meant to be easy, but it is meant to be good walking with our Savior. So I want to talk about struggle a little bit, because when we decide to deal with conflict, when we actually decide, okay, I'm going to deal with this. I don't really know how. I don't feel equipped. I don't feel like I'm worthy of this, but I'm going to struggle through this. So let me tell you a story real quick. So I transitioned from music over to working in landscape, working with plants and stuff. And me and Matt, who's not here today, we used to work together at a landscape firm. And we had, there was this guy that we worked with. He was one of the managers. And we would talk, everybody talks about trees, right? Right? Trees are cool. We were talking about trees, and his name was Matt Hobb. We called him Slob. But he was a good guy. He was a graduate of Cal Poly Pomona, I think. And we were talking about what size tree do you think is the ideal tree to plant, and what you get like the best results, right? Super cool, right? Everybody talks about that. And I think I said like, yeah, a 15-gallon plant or something. Or Matt might have said like, a bigger one's better or something. And Matt Hobb says, you know, I'd rather have a tree that grew from seed and was a sapling. And I thought, why are you trying to be so cool? That's what are you talking about? But that actually came to me this week. Why he said that. I was thinking about trees and their roots and stuff, and I thought, why did he say that? And actually what he said was very true. If you think about it, a tree that grows, let's think about our local mountains here. Our local hills here are covered with coast live oak trees, right? And last time I checked, most, if not all, of those trees were not planted by human hands. They were planted by God. I know I might get a little simple here, but it's a good analogy. So all of those, we used to live out in Majeska Canyon, and there was oak trees all over the place. Some of them were hundreds of years old, and they're huge. Some of them were just tiny. Nobody dug a hole. Nobody decided, okay, these hills don't have any oak trees. I'm going to go dig a hole, and I'm going to go down to Green Thumb and get an oak tree and put it there, and one of these days, all these hills will be full of them. No. Like, an acorn fell from a neighboring oak tree, and it fell, and God covered it with leaves and soil or whatever, and it sprouted roots. It germinated. God provided that, right? Nobody decided to set up some kind of fancy irrigation system, drip irrigation or something like that, and with a timer and set it to what it would be ideal for that to grow. The rain falls, and it's got enough moisture to germinate. And nobody went down to Home Depot and grabbed a bag of fertilizer and said, you know, it's got to have food. Like nobody did that. What happened? You know, God provided a whole trillion microbes within the soil with protozoas and fungi and all kinds of stuff so that they'll take care of it. They'll make sure that whatever they're doing in the soil, they're going to make sure that there's enough nutrients for that seed and other plants to grow. And then this one's a big one. Usually when we plant a tree in a landscape, if you plant a tree in your backyard, you're probably going to put some stakes on it. So like there's a tree, let's say this is a tree, and you plant a stake maybe on both sides. And what's the stake for? Anybody tell me what the stake is for? Stabilize it, right? To hold it up. It's a crutch, right? It's basically a crutch. This is the struggle part. There's no stakes on any of those trees. Think about it. I mean, if this is the soil level, it pops up. It's like a millimeter, then an inch. And then the winds come, and there's struggle. And it starts whipping back and forth, and maybe the rain falls, and it's getting beat down a little bit. This is struggle, right? Let's apply this to our lives. It's getting wind whipped. And if that was my kids in the middle of a struggle, I'd want to put a stake right next to them, right? I'd want to pull them out and say, no, here's a crutch. I don't want you to go through that struggle. maybe it'll just be better if I just pull Anthony out of this situation and say, like, I don't want him to go through that because that's too hard for him. But then he wouldn't grow. But that struggle, like, I was going to show a video of, like, a tree growing and roots, you know, going, and I found, like, 20 different videos, and they're all, like, they'll make you sleep. Not me. I think that's cool. But when that wind whips and it's going back and forth, it's actually working that plant out. I mean, it's actually getting stronger roots because of that. I mean, it's actually better to take those stakes off of a tree and let it stand the test of time. It might fall, and then you need your community to come around you and pick you back up and help you. But without stakes, I mean, if that wind didn't come, those trees wouldn't be so heavy. And then it would be like 100 years old, and the first winds come, and it's just going to fall down because it doesn't have any roots. So the point of this, you guys, is God provides it. So if you think about yourself, God provides it all. And if you think about it, these are native trees, and they're placed perfectly, exactly where they're supposed to be. So if you relate that to yourself, you're like a native tree. Your that environment in our hills, our local hills, is perfect for them. We don't get a lot of rainfall, but the trees are huge. I don't know if you've ever looked at those hills and said, how are they getting so big? There's no sprinklers. But they don't need that much. They just need a little bit in the winter. You know, we overthink things sometimes. So you're like you're a native to your environment, exactly where you're at. So whatever work you're at, wherever you live, whatever city, whatever family you married into, whatever family you were born into, this is your native environment, and God will provide everything you need exactly to the T, even though it feels like maybe he's not, but he does. Exactly. This is your environment. Ethan, maybe you can bring up Ephesians 2:10. Not loading. Okay. Well, I've got it right here. Let me see. In the Supertones, when we used to play all around the country, and even, let me tell you a story about struggle. We used to play in Europe a little bit, and we decided when we were young, you know, a young band, that we were just always going to somehow preach the word of God, even if we're, you know, whatever concert we're in, we're gonna just do it, and we're going to be faithful to that. We ended up in Germany one time. I think we were playing like a festival over in Holland or something, and then our booking agent decided to book us in Germany in some like rough neighborhood, and it was like some bar. I don't know, the Supertones probably shouldn't be there, but we were supposed to be there for some reason. And it came to the point where we were supposed, you know, Jason, our drummer, would come out and kind of share the good news of Jesus, you know, and you know, this is why we play music, and this is what we're singing about. And let me tell you, that bar was full of skinhead German thugs that just wanted to hear some music and drink some beer. And I'm thinking, like, oh my gosh, should Jason get up there? And he did, and the anger that came out of the mouths, I don't even really want to, I will not repeat what came out of their mouths, but it was like, I'm going to die. I mean, this is it. Jason's going to die first, because he's closer to those thugs right there. But God provided. I mean, he stood in the face. Some of you know my best friend Jason, and he stood his ground, and he actually said, you know what, we'll get back to our music for sure. He was kind of talking to one guy that was leading the pack, and he said, hey, listen, we'll get back to the music for sure. Just let me... He said, I'll make you a deal. we'll start playing music again if you just give me 2 minutes to talk. And then that guy, miracle of the Holy Spirit, turned around to everybody and said, everybody shut up. Let him talk so we can get back to the music. And I was like sweating. I was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. I thought I was going to be a martyr. So anyway, Ephesians 2:10, I used to sign this on, you know, posters and stuff. This was my verse, you know, through the years. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. That's one verse out of Ephesians. And so let me break that down for a second. It says, for we are his workmanship. In the NIV, it says, for we are God's handiwork. So you, Emmy, Mike, Anthony, Pat, you're his handiwork. He has created you for a purpose. What purpose does he have for you? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Yeah, there it is. Right? So, Pat, he created you just to do some good works. Which good works? I don't know, but he prepared them beforehand. So that's a big statement right there. It's already done. He already took care of it. They're already, like, whatever he's got planned for you, Pat, Annette, he already, it's already, like, we just have to walk through it. Like, it's there so that we can walk in them. So when I overthink it, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go in that German thug bar. There was already, God already had it planned out. The bottom line is, here's a kicker. He doesn't need you. Ultimately, he doesn't need me. He didn't need me to step up here and give this sermon to fulfill his purposes. But he wanted me to. His plans and purposes will be done without. He'll get his thing done. Like, the kingdom of God will flourish and be fulfilled without us. Like, he doesn't need us to do anything, but he wants you to do things because we are his plan. Like, the whole plan is us. Like, he created us and he wants to see us walk it through. And the thing is, guys, when we walk it through, it's not going to be perfect. If it was perfect, we'd be called God, but it's not going to be perfect. And thank God for grace, because when we do walk it through, he provides. So that's what I have. And let me pray, and then we can bring up, Hannah to do one more song. But thanks for listening, and let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you called us out, Lord God, and you called us to just walk it through, Lord Jesus. You called us to walk it through in your spirit, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that there's a lot of things going on in this room, or connected to the people in this room, Lord God, connected to our neighborhoods, our counties, our states, our country, our government. There's a lot of stuff going on, Lord Jesus. There's a lot of conflict out there. And without you in the center, without your spirit, Lord God, we're lost. So I pray, Lord God, we as a church seek to find you, Lord God, in the midst of it and not be afraid of it. And to walk it through, Lord God, to walk in you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.